broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter. It's Leander Grace, That Loud. Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and powering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, Shabbat Shalom and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Morning to some, afternoon to others, but a hearty hello nonetheless, the la-di-da-di and every other body. Tonight we bring you some scriptures and scuttlebutts here on Holistic Truth. It's Friday, October 13th, 2023, and we're broadcasting live from the high mountain desert. I am your host, Leander Grace, and it remains an exciting time, although a bit somber time, to be alive and aware and awake and about the business of the one thing. We are still diligently contending for the faith, asking Holy Spirit to continue to guide our battle, knowing we are given only our daily bread and a daily reprieve based upon our spiritual fitness. Going forward with the full armor of Yahweh Elohim, we know the battle's won. We still have to show up, and there is quite a battle going up on the world stage, more than one, it seems, that we're watching. There's more than one, it seems. So change is upon us within every dimension and layer of change that we as a species and we the people can conceive, and on levels and dimensions we cannot yet imagine. The harlot is in the house, and the thief is at the door, and the thief only comes to kill and steal and to destroy. And the harlot is a diversion to teach that which is unseemly. So it is time to come away from the tents, and it's time to come out of her, my people. And make no mistake, folks, and do not be deceived. We're at war. On the world stage as well, right? We're seeing wars and rumors of wars unfold. We're seeing a lot of hardship, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. We can't win this battle alone. Our spirits won't hold up. Our souls will get battered. We have to pray about it, because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Nothing of humankind would do some of the things that are reported to have happened over in Israel. So we know that we are fighting against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Woe to you, Assyrian. We are not struggling against human beings. Remember, too, as you listen to the broadcast or the podcast pod, people, we love you, too. Question everything. Cultivating a Berean mind and a seeker's heart. And yes, we got a scripture for that. Remember that to be more noble than those in Thessalonica, and to receive the word with all readiness of mind. But please search the scriptures daily to see whether those things that I am telling you are, you know, this may not be a happy, happy-go-lucky kind of an episode, but hopefully it will be educational and edificational and otherwise uplifting in its own right, because the scriptures remind us that my people, meaning God, God's people, perish for lack of knowledge, and we need to keep the knowledge high and the passions low. Remember, it was about 6 years ago when Khashoggi, when all of the things started to occur after the election of Donald J. Trump, and all kinds of mud was thrown in the water. Understand that at any time that there's going to be a war, there's going to be rumors within the wars and about the wars and because of the wars and lies and misinformation and disinformation. There's wars and there's rumors of wars. It is one of the weapons of every side is to use misinformation and disinformation. So that's why we need to keep our information threshold very high and our passions low. Because remember back then with Khashoggi, everybody was ready to go to war over something that may not still, we don't even know what happened. And everyone was ready to move forward, and hey, and this, and move fast as our passions. And when we as humans move fast as our passions, we tend to burn up all over ourselves. We tend to trip over our own members, do we not? We do. So we have to slow down, keep track, and not be swept away with the passionate things. Now, all of our hearts are breaking. You know, I have some questions about everything that I see unfolding, but, you know, all of our hearts are breaking over what we're seeing. None of us want to see suffering. None of us want to see the death of anybody, let alone any age group, let alone children, or even the repeated horrific reporting of it, because that just serves to re-traumatize. We got it the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time, and the fifth time. And understanding that repeating horrificness of war serves to traumatize your audience. We need to be informed, not battered. Bad things happen in war. And the enemy is choosing to do very, very, very bad things and making sure that the very, very, very bad things get published very widely so that we have an impassioned response and we're willing to do anything to make it stop. So moving fast is our passions, you know, making decisions quicker than we can resolve our own emotional turmoil about the situation that we see. It can be dangerous. We make dangerous decisions then. You say, well, Leander Grace, are you saying Israel should slow? No, I'm saying that if they're going to defend themselves, they need to defend themselves. Got a terrorist group coming on being a terrorist group, go get that terrorist group. You go. And get them till they're gone. Get them till they're gone. Don't get them halfway gone and say, well, we're going to take this much of a win so that they can grow again. Terrorists should be gone until they are gone. And what did the scriptures say? That the trees will all be burned down. So there'll be so few of the bad guys left. That's what the scriptures are referring to. There'll be so few of those bad guys left that a child can count them. We're talking about the trees of Lebanon will be down and the cedars are gone and all. There's going to be a burning and there's going to be so few trees left that a child could count them. Well, if we're considering how God personifies the adversarial forces or those forces who have teamed up with the adversaries against, pick a nation, Judah, Israel, Ephraim, the nation of Israel, the children of Israel. There's a lot of different ways to refer to it. He takes care of it. And he says this time it's going to be so bad that there's, you know, a child can count the remainder of the bad guys. So we understand, we have faith, we have hope, we have faith. And drawing strength from that faith, knowing there's reasons to hope because God said it, so he'll complete it. You know, we need to pray for the nation of Israel. The Israelis are suffering. We also need to pray for the innocents that are trapped within the war that have absolutely nothing to do with it. Pray for their protection and escape. Right? Do we not want just bad guys to be suffering? That's what I'm thinking. It's a suggestion. It's something to think about so that when we approach the Father to pray for the situation, we know that we are praying correctly because the scriptures even tell us we don't know how to do that. That's why the Spirit intercedes. Let me get a drink. So research what you hear tonight so you can own your own experience. Our stalwart verse is 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So let's take a look at some of the scriptures that I want to come. Well, we're going to take care of the scriptures. First of all, I want to take a couple of bullet points. You know, the bad guys, these are some things to keep in mind as we're looking at the different battles that are going on the world stage. Bad guys fight against peace. They just do. And we're seeing that stuff over in Ukraine and all of the American dollars, the senators want to vote to send over there to fund Ukraine. All of our hard-earned tax money, it's not representative. They're no longer representing us. They should even, I don't even know why they're pretending. And the people are not yawning over that. So much as, you know, the majority of the people are just done. we the people are pissed off that all of our hard-earned money, or at least the trading ability with the fiat currency that's being used, it is being sent over there, and it'll be laundered into hard assets and put into the pockets of other people. Or it's going to fund the war, and it's going to go to kill other people with our money. And now we have over in Israel, this is what I want to ask. It's a powder keg diversion. Now, I'm not diminishing anything. I'm not trying to detract at all from the scale of the attack. And they had to have some precision planning to be that wide scale and to be that successful. I mean, Israel is a high security state. It has to be, because it is under constant threat. Powder keg diversion seems to come right on time, and now everybody has somewhere to put the rest of our money, since they certainly wouldn't want it to go back into the pocket of the American people. Now, here's my question. Who called the dogs? Who called the dogs in the first place? Who called Hamas up and arranged it? Who organized this? Well, Hamas. Who organized Hamas? Who's paying the bills? Who's calling the shots? We know Soleimani's gone, took care of that. We know the other bad guys are gone. President Trump took care of that. So who's calling these shots? Who let the dogs in the first place? How did they get in? How did they get arranged? And so as we pray for Israel, they fight back against this terror, should we not also pray that Israel is able to discover those who let the dogs in the first place? Because, you know, once you work in criminal justice and you see military planning and things like that, and you start even doing strategic games like chess and even checkers, there's a strategy. Who let the dogs in? And they had more than 0.68 seconds to complete their tasks before the word go. So we also need to be considering the question of who let the dogs in that allowed for such a widespread cutting down the dogs in. And we need to follow the money. Continue to pray for the nation of Israel, all of the Israelis, all of the folks there, all of the folks. Pray that the killing gets to stop. Pray that with all the bad guys get gone, because the bad guys will always fight against peace. There's no profit in peace. There's no profit in peace, and there's no diversion in peace, and there's no disparity in peace, and there's no fear in peace that drive people and groups of people into rash decision making. Understand that this has been a week now. Not that it's old news. I'm not saying that. Well, I'm not diminishing at all the level of danger that is going on across the face of the earth, and especially in the Levant. But we must keep our wits about us. We must keep our tongues about us and not allow our tongues to become a powder keg. Let our tongues defy the wickedness that's lying in our heart if we think that we have an argument or an excuse to have an argument. To say, no, yeah, now that's why. And that's why they're coming after Israel. And it's justified that they come and do terrorist stuff. And it's justified that they rape women and children. And it's justified. No, it's not. Not even one time. That's terrorism. That's not war. That's terrorism. And nobody wants to go to war. But you come into my house and you start something, then there's going to be something. That's kind of just like one and one is two. You come in and start something, then there will be something. I may give you an ounce, an area, and a time frame of grace to change your mind from being asshole to angelic. But once that is determined, that decision is made that you're not going to change from asshole to angelic, you're going to come in and start something, then there's going to be something. And I'm on my home turf. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. He didn't say, lay down and ask people to kick you. When your brother offends you, when your neighbor offends you, he didn't say, when your enemy comes and does terrible things to you and your family and your neighborhood. That didn't come out of his mouth. And remember, just before he left, what did he say? He goes, you know, I know, I told you guys to go ahead and, you know, have your coats and all that stuff. He goes, but now, anyone who's got two coats, I want you to sell one of them. I want you to go get a sword. Why? Because even back then, by the time Paul was on the scene preaching, and that was before the first century, that was during the first century, it had been just about 70-ish A.D. that he started his preaching and teaching, after God dealt with him in a very harsh way. He taught us quite a bit, told us that there would be darkness coming. He told us that we need to be prepared for war. Nobody wants to have to do that. And then those of us who are not involved in an all-out hand-to-hand combat, in-your-face shooting war, thank God we don't all have to be called to do that. We are called to the battle of the spirit. We are called to the spiritual war on our knees and praying. And you say, well, which side do I pray for? Pray for God's people and let God decide who those are. But we know what an invasion looks like. We know what terrorism looks like. We know what inhumane actions look like. You know, oh man, what is right and what does the Lord require of you? But to love mercy, to do justice, and to walk humbly with your God. That's what the scriptures tell us. And so when the adversary acts this way towards us, why does God allow us to have swords? Why did Jesus say that? Because he knew that harsh language is not enough to beat evil. It's just not. And prayers alone aren't always enough either. We are called to physical action. We've been called to physical action against evil from day one, from the first day we let it in. We've been called to fight against it. Be fruitful, multiply, so that we can have the battle in the day. Now, Isaiah 9:5, let me go ahead and clear my throat here. So that's what I have to say about that. So Isaiah 9:5, what we do need to remember, now last week, you know, earlier this week, Monday or Wednesday it was, you know, I reminded folks to be careful about the images that will be shown, because we'll be shown all kinds of images. Some of them will be real. Some of them will not be real. That does not mean I'm diminishing anything. That just means that in the heat of war, we have to understand there's noise and there's confusion. There's wars and the rumors of wars and within the wars and about the wars and because of the wars and the fears of the wars. So those wars and there's rumors of wars. All right. So in Isaiah 9:5 tells us, for every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Now I want to take a look at the concordant literal version for this verse, because it gives a little bit of a different picture, and this gets us a little closer to one of the points I was trying to make on Wednesday. Again, if Isaiah 9:5, and this is the concordant literal version taken straight from the Septuagint, for every boot of the booter, and I can see it in Hebrew that this is even closer here, for every boot of the booter is in the quaking, and the raiment is being rolled in blood. And that's the garment. And it comes to be for burning, fuel for a fire. So every boot of the booter is in the quaking. So every battle, every warrior's boot makes fear. And if we take a look at it in the complete Jewish Bible version, let me go ahead and open that up in BibleGateway.com so that you guys know what resource that I'm using. And it's the complete Jewish Bible, and we get into this. It says, it's, they have different numbers on the verses. And so with the complete Jewish Bible, it's Isaiah 9:5. So just letting you know when you're searching for, I'm sorry, Isaiah 9:4. So with Isaiah 9:5, in when the cross-reference, it says, for all the boots of soldiers marching That's a little bit different picture in it. And every cloak rolled in blood is destined for burning, fuel for the fire. Then I want to change the comma there. Okay, so because here in the comma it says it's destined for burning, comma, fuel for the fire. And I would like to remove that comma completely if we're going to, you know, talk about the delivery, the tone, the syntax, and the tenor of the scriptures. To me, it rolls more this way in reading it. It says, and it's not an interpretation, it's the very same words. But the parsing changes the picture just a bit more. So for all the boots of soldiers marching, and every cloak rolled in blood is destined for burning fuel for the fire. Oh. And so basically what these is with the wars and the rumors of wars and everything that's going on, everything's going to be fearful. All of the boots that are marching down, all of the loud noises, all of the scary stuff, it's just fueling the fire. It's just making us more afraid, all of the images. Not that we should turn a blind eye, but we should also observe with a scrupulous eye, with a skeptical eye, not a doubter's eye. You know I love my sister Judah, and I am very concerned for the state of Israel. And I pray, you guys know I don't have to defend that statement. But we need to understand that all of the whipping of the pictures is going to have, just like I said on Wednesday, it's going to have an emotional affect and effect upon us. It's going to make us a little angry. It's going to put us on edge. It's going to change our body chemistry and might make us a little bit snappy, because the things that we're seeing are not fair to be done against people. They're just not, regardless of whether you're someone just living in Palestine and you got a bullet landing, a bomb landing on you. That's no fun on any day, don't care who you are, any more than it is for anyone in the nation of Israel to have a bomb land on them out of Lord knows where, from Lord knows who, because of Lord knows why. And I want to know who called the dogs up and who's paying their bills. And I want to know who let the dogs in for them to have such a coordinated strike, such a far-reaching coordinated strike. That's weird. It's just weird. And so there's a reason it's weird. One is Israel's already a high-security state. How could they do that? So we need to check it. Because the deep state doesn't start and stop in Washington, D.C. Let me get a drink. The deep state actors don't start and stop over Ukraine. There's bad guys everywhere that fight against peace and require a reaction from someone else. Now, is it necessary to have that large of reaction? That's not my call. That's not my nation. That's not my place. I'm just saying that I want to know who called the dogs up, who let the dogs out, who organized the dogs, and who let the dogs in. Who's paying the dogs' kibble bill? Those are my questions. Because a whole nation of people that I care very much about are in danger. And now they have to interrupt their very happy lives and take action against an enemy that if they just had left them alone, they could be enjoying their Sabbath. But no, the destroyers are just eager to go in and destroy and cause havoc and wreak this and wreak that. That's what it looks like. So, yeah, we need to continue to pray for the nation of Israel and for the children of Israel and for the house of Judah and for the house of Jacob. Because remember in Ezekiel, we do have the promise of one stick. And over through all the scriptures, the Father told us over and over through his Holy Spirit, over and over, that it's going to look like one thing, but really, I'm rescuing you. It looks like this, but I'm helping you. And I'm wondering, and I'm praying, and I'm hoping that God can use this. Remember, we know that all things work together for good. For those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So if you're loving God, you're going to get somehow there's going to be a blessing out of this. And I know it because it's in God's word. And so we have to stay faithful and hopeful and our eyes focused on Yeshua, because through him all things were made and through him all things are held together. And we know he's got the whole world in his hands. It's not a cliche. We know it. We're still trying to figure out how to be human. He's got patience, but there's not much patience for long. And I don't know how long the American people are going to forbear all of our good hard-earned money going to fight a proxy war over in Ukraine. And it's not even fighting a proxy war. It's like they're funding the Nazis. And, you know, I liked something that Mark Levin had to say about the Nazis, about Hamas being Nazis. And I want to say this, and I'm going to challenge it. And I'm going to say it one time. Somebody let them in. And I'm going to say there's probably some Nazis, closeted or otherwise, in the places, serving in the high places, those agents that serve the rulers of darkness and would sell their people out for a percentage. Who let the dogs in is a question we need to be asking as well. Who let them in? And we need to remember who was allied with who during World War II. When the whole Nazi thing came up, and we may just go through break because I got some soap and I got some boxes and they're all going to work together for good here. The two allies during World War II were the Nazis that was over in Europe, and then also were the Muslims over in the Middle East. They were working together, and who was funding them? Well, they were being funded by none other than the Rothschilds and all the other bad banksters that charge it, but where was it being funneled? To the Vatican. And these are some of the things that we need to understand, is that we've been pitted against each other for a very long time and been told lies against each other for a very long time, to where now as soon as someone says boo, the other person's ready to say, let's go. That Israel's response is not justified. Again, I'm going to say that because someone's going to misquote me and say, well, Leanne Grace said it, and she never did. You come into my house and start something, there is going to be something. And it will not be anything that most people are ever used to seeing coming from me. War is not pretty. It is not butterflies. It is not rainbows. It is death. It is screaming. It is blood. And it is loss. And it is widows. And it is widowers. And it is fatherless. And it is childlessness. That's war. That's war. It's death. People kill each other. There's no pretty way to explain that. And the Nazis, who called them up? Who let them in? Who's paying their bills? Where'd the equipment come from? Emboldened. And at a time, especially now, at this particular point on the world stage, when everything else seems to be going on everywhere all at once, who called the dogs up? Who let the dogs in? And who's paying the dogs' bills? These are all very good questions. For all the boots of soldiers marching and every cloak rolled in blood is destined for burning fuel for the fire. I am your host, Leander Grace. Going to go ahead and go into a break, and we'll be back on the other side as well. It is time to let the healing begin. Does that mean that I think it's time for everybody to put down their weapons and do a little happy dance? Nope. I think we still got some ass to be kicking. Just do. I'm all for world peace, but it looks like some little Hamasi dogs needs their butts kicked, and we'll see if that does happen or if that doesn't happen. We can make pretend all we want to be soft and cushy. Oh, they just didn't get enough love. Well, just because they didn't get enough love doesn't mean that anybody's child has to be their victim. You can understand that as an explanation, but there's never an excuse for wicked behavior. I am your host, Leanna Grace. Our topic is wars and rumors of wars. We're going to hear a little bit of Charlie Peacock. It's about a four-minute break. We'll be back on the other side, and we're going to talk about some of the New Testament scriptures that could be explanatory of some of the things that we might be seeing as the nation Israel and our sister Judah is going through a little bit of fire. We need to continually lift them up. But we also need to remember that there are more truths to get to the bottom of. Who called the dogs up? Who organized the pack? Who let the pack in the door, and who's paying for the kibble? We'll be back on the other side.
I'm burning in my
lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh no, silence isn't protective. Well, sometimes it is if you gotta hide, and some of the folks in Israel, I'm sure, are needing to hunker down just a bit as all that stuff goes on over their heads and around them, and all the loss and all that stuff. You know, I did want to go ahead and elaborate just a little bit on the knot season, then I wanted to move back around. I just wanted to reiterate that we need to understand who it is that may be paying for the bills. Kibble for this organized pack of dogs that was let in. And we'll need to actually come to terms with that fact, that someone had to let them in. You know, they're calling it their 9/11. Well, you know, we are coming to terms with the fact that there wasn't no airplanes and none of that, that someone let them in. We'll have to come to those terms. But an attack is an attack. And Israel's going to do what Israel needs to do. And hopefully they won't have to do it anymore. And that's what I'm hoping. And I'm hoping that any of the bad guys that are the remainder that have put the nation and the people of Israel and the children of Israel at risk, I hope that if they, you know, that they're uncovered and dealt with as well, because someone let them in. All right, so let's take a look now. I want to go ahead and go forward into the scriptures and take a look at some other scriptures that I had set aside for taking a look at this from a long point version, taking a look at this through the eyes of hope, right? And knowing that God is always working a work regardless of what we see going on the surface. We know that in the end, God, we will figure out that God has worked something that we did not expect, even through this hardship. And I don't wish for the hardship to come about so that we could have good blessings come out of it, God forbid. That's not what those words are. But if we are going to be mature in this and not move as fast as our passions would like us to, and as our ego would like us to be all big and bad and brawny, because we really are powerless in some degree to help those who we care about, take a look at. And let me just make sure I have this. Yes. So I want to go ahead and take a look at a couple of Revelation scriptures in Revelation 2. Revelation 2:2, and I use the King James Version in this. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, it says, this is a letter to the churches. This is right. This is a letter to the churches of encouragement. Because even back then, during the time of this writing in the first century, the church was going through very hard times. And there was a split in Judaism between those who followed Yeshua and those who did not. And just like there's a split in all of the nations of different topics. So, and then there was a sect that was pretending to be Jewish to get in there and cause havoc because they were losing control of the populace. Understand, the corrupted leaders that were in place at the time, enter our world stage currently perhaps, and not just in Jerusalem, not just in over in the Levant, but also here in the United States. We call them deep state. We know they're there. We don't need to deny it. But they had deep state back then too. They had bad guys working in Judah against the Judaic people. They had bad guys there too. Those are the ones that were called vipers, not the regular folk, but the leaders that were misleading the people. And so after his resurrection, he left a letter he visited John and said, hey, here's some revelation, lay this on the people, but first of all, write these letters to the churches. And he says, this is in Revelation 2:2, he says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And we're going to find that here in the United States through all of Christianity. A lot of people that are pretending to love the Lord are loving everything but. And we may be taking care of that next week. Good Lord willing, the creek don't rise. We only got a little bit of time on each of the Friday programs. Thank you, Lord, for that as well. So let's take a look at Revelation 2:9. It's the same letter.
I mean, the same chapter, different letter, different church. And this is what Revelation 2:9 tells us. And I'm leaving the context out because we kind of know the context. But in Revelation 2:9, it says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of those that say, which say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. So even back then, there were those individuals who had infiltrated the Jewish religion, air quotes, had claimed Judaic affiliation or salvation or however, you know, fill in the blank, and not trying to be blasphemous against any particular religion. I love you, my sister Judah. But understand, even back then, he was saying, nah, I know. They're saying they're Jews. They're not. But they want a position of power, and so they're claiming it, but they're not. And I know it's frustrating that they're imitating you, and they're doing these things and making you guys look bad. I get that. That's what Jesus was saying right there. It's the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. And we know, as Christians, we talk and we know during this time that there are those who have tried so hard and has had, to a degree, been successful at imitating our sister Judah and have done horrible things in her name. So let's go ahead and go now to Revelation 3, chapter 3, and verse 9. And again, he's referring to the same group of individuals. He took a whole verse to get back to them. That's how offensive they are to the Lord. In Revelation 3:9, it says, Behold, I will make them a synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Who? The Jews. His real kindred, the real kindred, not those who are pretending. And he says right there, if I could just go ahead and elaborate, the picture that I see is that he knows all of the blasphemy that's going on that makes Judah look bad, that's not being done by Judah. And he's going to make the bad guys bow at Judah's feet, so that everybody knows that he loves them. Not the ones that are perpetrating frauds. Not the ones that would let the dogs in. So we're going to need to think about the reality of this situation and some of the things that are in front of us that don't add up. Because Israel is a high security state. It must be. People are hypervigilant. It's going to be enjoyable to watch them be uncovered. Let's continue in verse 10, Revelation 3:10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Isn't that a heck of a reward? Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So the churches, the original churches, were not made up of Christians. That's a fairly new word compared to when Jesus walked the earth. Even when Paul walked the earth, the word was Christianus, and it actually meant smeared ones rather than anointed ones. It was an insult. And in the Greek, it kind of glosses over it and calls them anointedians, but it actually meant smeared ones rather than the anointed ones. It both became, you know, how a compliment can become a smear so easily in our colloquial manner of speaking. So the whole reason for bringing this about is to bring comfort to my sister Judah. And really all that love the Lord, because he knows his. He knows. He knows the ones that are saying that they're Jews and they're not, and they're doing all of these things. He'll reveal them. And he'll say, see, these are the ones that were doing things in your name. And hopefully at this particular instance on this attack in Israel, we're going to be able to learn who let the dogs in. Because that's what's disheartening. Betrayal is always hard to deal with. And American people are just now coming to the idea that we're going to need to deal with the idea of betrayal of our from our leaders. We're getting ready to get ready to deal with that emotionally. I think most nations have had to get ready to get ready to deal with the reality of some of the wickedness that has been going on within our own nations. Not that we knew it, because we should be able to be naive to a degree. That's what we've got a government for, so that we can be all fat, dumb, and happy and have our vacations and just do and be free people. But instead, you know, we load 16 tons and what do you get? So that's where we're at. And it's not any particular area of the earth that had become enslaved, but to a greater degree, all of us across the face of the earth had become enslaved to the banksters, those who were enslaved. Now, there are some nations who were not. Libya was not. Now, I do want to give a little shout out to Libya. I don't know who's running it right now. But I want us to remember that Libya was the first nation. They were a Mohammedan nation, according to the treaty. But they were the first nation that recognized the United States as a nation and initiated trade. I also want to point out that the United States was the first nation that recognized Israel as a state, as a nation, an individual by itself, with all of the hereto yada yada yadas of any nation. I do want us also to remember that there has been contention there for a long time. That's not a minimization. That's the truth. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we all were able to finally get to the other side of all of the contention? Can, as a species, as a human race, as people, that we can finish rooting out the bad guys that have so deeply bruised and wounded our nations, plural, the very heart of us, to where we distrusted one another internally and internationally, when there was no reason to distrust one another. The only ones that we really needed to distrust and probably even still need to distrust are those who profit from war, those who profit from bloodshed. Now, that doesn't mean that we should all be pacifists so that nobody profits, you know, from war. That's not what I'm saying. We need to have peace through strength. That's definitely a truth that we found out during the Reagan era. The stronger we are, the more peaceful the world is. If we have the wisdom to not be irresponsible with that might, and so many times our might, when it could have been used wisely, was then diverted into foolishness. Case in point, I heard an argument today. Someone brought up something about Jimmy Carter and some operational failures. And I'm not going to be very specific, but I am going to be specific about this. Remember, he had a cabinet that did not want him to succeed as president. Do I agree with everything he had to do? No, that's not the whole point of what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, just like today in contemporary times, when we saw a whole contingency of deep state actors behind the scenes trying to scuttlebutt everything that Donald J. Trump was trying to put forward for our good, it was the same thing during then. And even the generals were disobeying the direct orders of the President of the United States, Caspar Weinberger, I believe was his name. Let me get a drink. The children during this time, not that time, but during our contemporary time, don't know this history. And if they've been taught it, they've been taught minor details with major innuendo and leaning against at least a biased view of it. And if you're going to give the kids a biased view, at least biased it towards our own nation. They didn't even give us that courtesy, so the ones that were writing the history books wrongly. Let's go ahead and bring a few more scriptures in here because, you know, we've hit it pretty hard. We're pretty heavy. We don't want to just be all suspicious of each other. We may need to be for a little while for those who need to root out bad guys within the camp. Betrayal is awful. Betrayal is horrendous. It just, it undermines everything. And it hurts. You know, it hurts the heart. But it does reveal integrity. So finally, brother, well, no, we're not going to get to Philippians 4:8 yet. Let's go ahead and go into Romans. And I want to go into Romans 8. Romans 8. Let me get there myself because I wasn't booted up on that. So let's get to Romans 8, and I think 25-ish, somewhere around there. Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about hoping and faithing and seeing and not seeing and all this stuff. Okay, so when we look, let me see if we go to the beginning here, for the earnest expectation. Okay, so yeah, it's going to be a little bit. We're going to read some scripture in Romans 8. And let's go ahead and go all the way up to Romans 8:16. Romans 8:16. And even 15. Let's include 15. And we're just going to read the whole chapter if we're not careful about it. So Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory with which we will be revealed in us. Though what is that again? For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's the that's a preposition. Hello? In. Another way is into us. Another one, another translation says revealed for us. But the Greek is pretty obvious and straightforward that the glory will be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, which is us, the creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, meaning us, the creation. This creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. But what a man seeth, why doth he hope for it? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose of the one thing. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then of these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That sums it kind of up. There's no other direction to sum that except straight up. So what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God has already decided he wants us with him. And he's going to fight like hell for us to help us get where we need to be so that we can be with him. I'm not talking about a physical destination, although that may occur. I'm talking about being that in that place inwardly, spiritually, emotionally, faithfully, devotedly to him so that we can be with him. And God goes to a lot of trouble that we may not understand at the time to fulfill his will and get the job done. Case in point, you know, Jesus, Mary and Joseph, or at least, you know, Mary and Joseph were nowhere near Bethlehem. And it was getting pretty close time to fulfill a prophecy. Child being born was only going to be fulfilled in Bethlehem. Now, do you think for a minute that it dawned on either Mary or Joseph, well, you know what? Yeah, I think we need to go to Bethlehem. Yeah, why don't we go when you're like the most pregnant and ready to pop, and we'll go on this big long road trip on the donkey and go through this. I think we should do that. No, not even one time do I think either Mary or Joseph made that plan. But he did put it in the heart of, let me get a drink. He did put it in the heart of Caesar Augustus to send out into the world to make a tax. And not only that, and I got to clear my throat, that then they needed to go into the place where they came from to be taxed and the census to be taken. And he wanted to count bodies and he wanted to count dinero, right? Or that money, geld, gold. So everybody had to go. And lo and behold, they made it to Bethlehem, Ephratah, which is not the least of these among the nations. I am your host, Leander Grace. Keep this faith, keep this hope that God knows what he's doing, and pray for Israel and the nation of Israel and the children of Israel and the house of Judah and the house of Jacob, that we can become one stick. We've got to get through the wickedness to get to the goodness. And we know, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. I am your host, Leander Grace, reminding you to, as always, to watch for those signposts, to connect these dots, to find your path, to live in love, and do something good as we learn to forgive. And until next time,